around 125,000 babies a day will be aborted. They will be slaughtered in this day. And whether you call them babies or whether you call them fetuses, there is something you must know. Today, almost all scientists agree that zygotes, which is the cell of life created when the sperm and ovum come together, zygotes and fetuses are individuals, this is what scientists say, of the same human species. It's no longer a question of when life begins. That discussion is over. Now it's a question of the value of the different stages of life. In this week, somebody sent me an article from the Daily Telegraph newspaper, and the title was, "Killing Babies is No Different from Abortion, Experts Say." And that article was quoting from an article in the Journal of Medical Ethics. Two Italian doctors had written an article, after birth abortion, they're asking the question, after birth abortion, why should the baby live? Why should the baby live? And they really argue that if a child with Down syndrome perhaps is not detected, if that child's going to be a burden on the family and a burden on society, what makes a difference if you kill the child after birth than before it? God hates those who shed innocent blood. We're going to come around this table, and I want you to come in your imagination with me to the womb of Mary before Jesus was born. And you remember how when Jesus was just a little bigger than a zygote, a fetus in his mom's womb, you remember how when Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, came, you remember how John leaped. He leaped in the womb of his mother. If Mary had had an abortion, who would have been aborted? A potential human being or the eternal Son of God? And the point I want to make is this. No angel in glory can compare with any human being, whether disabled or not, created in the image of God. Whether it's someone like Beethoven, they often use Beethoven as an example, but that big deal if Beethoven was a genius. Whether it was someone like Beethoven or whether a child born with autism, every legal abortion spills innocent blood. Could it be, I'm asking myself, could it be we've become so accustomed to a culture of death, culture of abortion, culture of euthanasia, that we forget what Jesus said of Satan in John 8, verse 44, that he's a murderer from the beginning? Could it be that Satan is pictured in Revelation 12 as a red dragon because he has a thirst for shedding of blood? If I can't kill God, I can kill those created in his image. Brothers and sisters, I could go on, but I simply want to say this. If the church is not going to fight for the unborn, who's going to do it? And do we really love God? My appeal is not that we sit back. My appeal is that you get informed, you love all humanity from the baby conceived in the womb to the elderly person, where even now people are questioning, do elderly people have any value? When you love God, you'll protect life and not kill it. And then we'll end with this, you will kill anger and you will not excuse it. Let's face the music as we close. I get really worked up when I speak about abortion. And I can get really proud that my hands haven't shed any innocent blood. And I can get really angry with ISIL that they torture or kill. But I can often stop short. And in the words of Matthew 5, verse 21, comes to me as they did to the disciples. You know the commandments. Do not murder, for there will be judgment. But I tell you, if you call, and I'm paraphrasing, or if you think of your brother or sister or somebody else as raka, the word means numbskull or nitwit. These are not my words. Jesus says, you're in danger of the fire of hell. Many years ago, a Jewish rabbi was speaking to a, a preacher, and he said to him, one of the greatest differences in our two religions is the idea that you've committed a sin in your religion, in Christianity, by desiring or thinking it. We believe, he said, that you commit a physical act before you really sin. Otherwise, we would be sinning all the time. And the preacher said to him, we are. And that's the point. It's not just open murder that God hates. It's that envy, it's that bitterness, it's that hatred, it's that anger, it's that desire for revenge. And the more you love God, you see, the less comfortable you become with those things in your own heart. And the more you love God, the more you'll be killing your own sins than crucifying others for their sins. In James chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and sometimes with it we curse human beings who've been made in His likeness. All of us, I suspect, struggle with past hurts or present hurts, and we need to be praying that whatever else comes out of our minds or out of our mouths, whatever it is, it might be for blessing of other people as we've been blessed, and not for cursing. If God played all of our sins on a large screen today for the entire world to see, the spiteful thoughts, the demeaning words, would we be proud? Or would we be humbled as we see how much He loves us despite who we are, not because of it? Which brings us, as it must, and we're going to come to it, to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ. Because only in Jesus and only because of Jesus will I have any desire to hate sin in my life. Many years ago, there was a man who washed his hands. You remember him? His name was Pontius Pilate. And as he was washing his hands, he said, let his blood be on us and on our children. Or at least the Jewish people said, let his blood be on us and on our children. So who was guilty of shedding blood? Was it Pilate? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Or was it each of us? Too proud to bow before our king. Too dishonest for the truth. And as we come around this table in a moment or two, I want you to remember that it's actually our hands that dripped with the blood of innocence. It was our hands that put Jesus to death. My voice, my cries, my deeds nailed him to the cross. But praise him that the God who hates hands that shed guilty blood is the one who is able to wash them clean. Pray with me. Father, thank you for these reminders. We really do need them. Sometimes we hate things in our lives that are actually pretty petty, and we don't have enough holy hatred for the things that you detest. Or we're very good at excusing ourselves, and we're pretty good at comparing ourselves with other people. Thank you for the honesty of your word and the honesty of your character. And thank you that you, as you enable us to face the music about ourselves, we can sing a new song and an even greater song, because we can know that Jesus Christ has died to pay for each and every single one of our sins, past and present and future. So what shall we do? What shall we do? Shall we sin more so that we can know more grace? May it never be. May we be those who are so captivated by the love of Jesus that we will love what He loves and hate what he hates, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing as we prepare our hearts to come around the table.
want to close this service with one announcement, and then we are going to ask Dave to come forward to talk about Team Street. On the back of your bulletin,